Join us today to see if this 1969 Chevrolet Corvette convertible can turn two Porsche nerds into domestic buyers. Will a four-speed manual and some swoopy lines and some hot paint do the job?
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Bid Nerd, your daily nerd on the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. We are here, or at least I am here in Las Vegas in the Container Park in downtown Las Vegas at the Rami Studio. My name is John Polnick. I am here along with my partner Michael Deeb in the yet-to-be-named studio in San Francisco. What's up, happening, Michael Deeb?
What's happening, man? I was just headbanging to our theme song, which I love.
Yeah, buddy. You've got that on repeat on your iPhone.
It's a good day. Did a little drive yesterday with the Porsches, and it looks like we're frozen here for a second on the video.
You got like Apple CarPlay going with the music and everything like that? You listening to the theme song while you're driving along?
So I have an aftermarket stereo in my 911. I have the classic radio that I have yet to put in. In fact, the radio is at the mechanic, so the next time I bring the car over there, it should come home with the radio in it. But at the moment, only two speakers in the car work, and it's just the right side. The balance is in the middle, but the left side speakers aren't working. So my car needs some attention. So yesterday, as I drove, JP, I actually had headphones in and my cell phone on, and I was just listening to, like, you know, my playlist while I was driving. And like I said, it was a little wet out, so everybody was basically tiptoeing on the drive. Nobody was really kind of going for it. So I was just, you know, just, what was it, Roadhouse, where the guy's driving the Mustang down the road, just weaving left and right in oncoming traffic. I didn't have your Ascot on, but that was me yesterday on the C-Renin 7. I was just weaving in and out, like almost falling asleep behind the wheel. I should have had a coffee. I don't know. It was fun. It was fun.
You actually wore relaxing headphones while driving. So, like, my back date doesn't have a stereo at all. I just don't even have one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did. I wore headphones. Do you remember when you and I met, I bought a 93 RS America, right? And that car only had front speakers and they were terrible. I actually had a UE boom that I used to put in the center console because there's like a little pocket that fit the UE boom perfect so it wouldn't roll or move around. And I would just pair my phone to that and I would play that in the car and it sounded better than the speaker that came from Stuttgart.
I think in 964, you probably had enough sound insulation even in an RS that you could probably hear it. I have one of those like boom Sonic, the Sony's version of that or whatever. You can't hear it. I mean, it's just like my car's just too damn loud. So whatever. I just got to listen to my inner monologue. You got to wonder though, it's like all these cars. Do you hear that story about the guy, the guy that had his Amazon connected house, and he got locked out of all of his stuff? So he gets home and he was able to get into his house, but like he tried to use I won't say the word, you know how you voice prompt the computer and it turns on your TV and your entertainment and all that kind of stuff and your refrigerator. Yeah. So there's had a totally connected house. All his lights and everything were connected to that. And he goes in there and he's calling the name and it's not doing anything. He's like, what the hell? So he calls Amazon and they're like, do you know why that's not working, sir? And he's like, no, what is going on? And they're like, well, you've been locked out and suspended from your services. Because one of our drivers dropped off a package and rang your Ring bell or whatever, your Amazon bell, and you called him a racist name, and so you are locked out of your house, out of all your stuff. He's like, what? What are you talking about? So he looks
at
the cameras.
Is this a true story?
This is a totally true story. This just happened. So he gets on, he gets his security thing and he's looking at it. He's like, I wasn't even home. What are you talking about? The driver reported to his supervisor that he was harassed with racial somehow. And so he reported the user and Amazon suspended his account for some amount of time. I'm not sure how it was ultimately resolved, but we talked about this on the Dirt Eye Porsche podcast on our other channel. And it's like, what, at some point when your car is all connected, that's a great thing about having these classic cars, is that, you know,
yeah.
the corporate gods somewhere that say you're not woke yeah. enough can't just turn your car off and abandon you in the middle of nowhere. You're listening to the Chappelle Show and he drops an N-bomb and you're like, you've been suspended for using racial language. You're like, I was just listening to a comedian. You're screwed.
Where on the fine print, like, is the, by the way, we have the right to take your stuff away that you're paying for on a monthly.
Yeah. When was the last time you actually read the user agreement that you had clicked yesterday? Of course, no.
All the updates. There's an update every 6 months. And what do? You either file it or delete it, but you never read it.
No one ever reads it.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Rami's response was like, oh, I'd sue them. It's like, how do you know you didn't agree to? I wouldn't agree to that. Yeah. It's like, oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
How do you know? Yeah. You don't read any agreement that you sign, much less hit a button for. So
bad.
Yeah. Well, so what we do on this channel, if you're new to the channel, welcome to the Nerd Herd. We love the Nerd Herd. The Nerd Nation out there rocks. You guys have been really helping us out. We're getting so close to 1,000 subscribers. We know we're about to cross that finish line. So if you're new, you're just joining the Nerd Herd, you're one of those new, almost to 1,000 subscribers. We find the most interesting car the day from all the auction sites like BAT and Cars and Bids and stuff. And then we make a prediction about that car and then we reconcile our wrong predictions with what actually happens. So stick around to the end of the episode to find out what actually happens with the car's auction results. Today's car is a car that would not be subject to any kind of lockout from some digital AI or corporate gods or the government or anything like that. This might be a good place to store sensitive executive branch documents. If you have a garage, you just put them next to it or in the trunk or something like that, and then someone could open the garage door, but you know, no big deal. What's today's most interesting car, Michael Deeb?
JP, we do not do Chevrolets very often, but on Bring a Trailer, I saw this 1969 Chevrolet Corvette convertible, and this is a 427-inch cubic inch V8 motor, and it's the 400 horsepower, the one that they call, and again, I have to read this because I don't speak Corvette. This particular V8 is the L68. So that's an iron block with 3 2-barrel carburetors that makes about 400 horsepower and JP 460 pound foot of torque. I thought this car was cool because they, I think it's the first year of the C3 generation car. It's beautiful in Monza red. Somebody restored it. It's also a 4-speed manual that runs through it's a Muncie 4-speed manual. It's got 15-inch rally wheels with the red line on the tires, a white soft top. And look how cool that car is with the pop-up headlights. I mean, I just thought this thing was bitchin', man. It's like, I'm not a Corvette person. I don't know all the different ins and outs. Personally, if I had a 427, I'd like an aluminum block, but I think they're like $400,000. I have a sneaky suspicion this car is going to creep into the 6-digit territory, but only just. I just thought we'd give a show a little love and do a little shout out to a kind of a cool pre-70s, you know, just absolutely analog muscle car, but with independent suspension and a manual transmission. And a convertible looks damn good, if you're asking me. I think it looks hot in this. Monza red is kind of an orange, kind of a red, somewhere in between. So why not, JP? If you gave me this car, I would not immediately sell it. I would drive it and enjoy it and try to figure it out a little bit. See if I can make one handle and take it on a rally somewhere. Maybe come and visit you in Vegas. Not in the dead of summer, but certainly in the spring or the fall. So, JP, a lot of these cars, like let's say the C3 came out in 69, but like in the early 70s with the, you know, what happened to gas prices and the oil embargo and what was frowned upon on the excess of the 60s and this sort of arms race that we were having between the domestic brands in the late 60s, there was a big damper on that with the oil embargo and gas prices. And so these cars, instead of developing and evolving and becoming better, you know, like a 76 or a 78 or I think 81 or 82 being like one of the last years for the C3s, it turns out that the early versions, the cars that were built in 69 and 70 that came with this multitude of different engine and tuning configurations, were really the ones to have, because these cars were neutered by the oil embargo and smog and emission standards and things that that really ruined the car, you know, later in the generation. And that's kind of the opposite of what we see of almost any car that's ever been made. So do you have any experience driving a Gen 3 Corvette, a C3 chassis Corvette? Did you like it? And was it an early one that was sort of turned loose, or was it a later one that was kind of neutered or governed, if you lack of a better term, car that made a lot less horsepower in the late 70s and early 80s? Any love for the C3? Any experience behind the wheel of one of these things?
I really have very limited experience. I've driven one years and years ago. I don't even remember what it was like. And I think it was an automatic. I don't know if I've ever driven a manual one in the C3. I got to admit, this car is hot. It looks really good.
Yeah, right?
I mean, that's just, that's a good looking car. You know, I think the corpse that they're pretending is the president or something of the country has one of these.
Is that right?
I don't know. I think it's a, maybe it's an, I don't know. I know he has a convertible.
Is it weekend? Weekend at Bernie's? Is that what
it really is, man? They've just got a big old stick up his ass, and they're just like, he's just like, yeah, this guy's president. Oh shit, he fell over. Okay, pick him back up again. Yeah, nobody believes that he's in charge of anything.
Didn't he fall down the other day, like on stage somewhere at a big thing?
Yeah, sky's blue, water's wet.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody believes that he could actually drive an automobile, much less be in charge of nuclear codes or anything like that. He certainly doesn't know how to drive the economy. Ba-dum-boom. This car is great. I mean, it really looks cool. I don't know anything about it. But the thing is, you know, speaking of boomers and corpses, look... These cars, the values of these cars, of, you know, all of this era American muscle, these cars are, the people that own them are boomers, right? No one younger than boomers is really buying these things, occasionally here and there. But it's by and large boomers that have them, and boomers are dying, and they're passing their cars on to their Z generation or millennial generation, you know, kids, and they don't want them. So they're just immediately going to auction, and you know, these cars are just being liquidated. I could see a car like this, you know, maybe someone our age or maybe younger going, okay, well, maybe we'll, you know, maybe some Bitcoin bro or whatever, crypto bro has a bunch of extra money. He's already gotten a bunch of exotic cars and he wants to add something to his collection. But this isn't on many people's list, you know, high on their list. This is something to be added to it once you've already gotten a bunch of other stuff. Would I like to drive this car? Sure. Would I want to buy it? No. I have a bunch of other things that I like. You know, I don't know, maybe it'd be different if I actually got behind the wheel of one. And this car actually is suited for Las Vegas because we don't have a lot of twisty roads. This would be a great car to cruise down the strip in. But I mean, you're just
going out to Gene in this car would be a blast,
right?
You know?
Yeah,
even the Overton run would be great in this car.
Sure. But it's just an old man's car. It'd be cool, it'd be interesting, you know, to maybe mod it in a way that, you know, I mean, lower the thing and put some mess with the wheels a little bit, and you know, don't put modern wheels on it, but something, I don't know, I just hate this era of wheel, but the lines on this car really are quite gorgeous.
Does that not look, if you could erase from your brain that you know that this is a Corvette, does that car not look like a 70s Ferrari? I mean, like, look,
if it were lowered and had different wheels, it really does kind of look like a California, right? Or a GTO or whatever it is.
I mean, like, look at the Daytona, look at the Dino, and then look at this car and tell me that Chevrolet did not plagiarize some design influence, the fenders and how voluptuous this car is. It's a looker. It's an absolute looker. I'm, you know,
yeah, the little boat tail on the back and stuff like
for sure, the round taillights. It's very, very, you cannot tell me GM was not looking at Maranello when they decided
the Corvette. For sure, the way we display the cars here, you know, our eCam thing is a little screwy. Sometimes I can't show the whole picture. It's hard to move it around, but you can kind of see, like, when I'm on here, let's see, you're going there, that kind of cuts off the bottom of the wheel, right? Which kind of gives you an idea of what the car would look like lowered. If the car had a stance like that, that would be dope, right? But when you see the car in its full photo, you can see it's just a little too dang high off the ground. So I would like to see some European style, era specific kind of Ferrari-esque wheels and lower this thing, drop that top. Yeah, man, this what a great car to cruise to the desert in. But how I just don't think many people are going to try to do that.
Yeah, how wild would it be? Like, let's say you took the wheels that are made by Camp Agnolo, 15 inch by 7 in the front and 15 by 8 in the back, and the wheels that came off a Di Tommaso Pantera. They're distinctly Italian. Yeah. Would look beautiful on this car.
In gold.
If you could lower this car. Yeah, that'd be amazing. But I don't think the bolt, I think the bolt pattern for those Di Tommasos, I think, is like Ford bolt pattern. And I think the GM is different, but I could be wrong. I do not know my American cars. But that would be a really cool thing to do. That'd be really neat to see what that would look like.
Well, you know, the most recent stupid Batman movie, the one with the vampire kid. The DC Universe or whatever. The Batmobile was this era.
It's a muscle car.
I think. Or maybe it was a C2. I could be wrong on that. I don't know. I get these confused. But it was a Corvette conversion close to this era. And this era is close to when it was switched from one to the other. I'm pretty sure it was a C3 Stingray of some sort. I was conceived probably in a C2 in a 65 convertible.
You said that on an earlier episode once or twice.
I should
back
like
in
vets more, but I'm just like all right. Well, what do we think is going to happen with the auction? What's this thing going to bring?
Let's just remind the audience that you and I together don't know anything about Corvettes. Like, collectively, we know less than nothing. But this 69 Corvette with 66,000 miles in Thousand Oaks, California. It does have, JP, a limited slip differential, posi traction, as they called it. And then the other thing it has is air conditioning. John, air conditioning at $400 is by far and away the most expensive option on this car. Like, the next most expensive option is like $200, you know? And it's funny to see that the AC was the priciest thing back in the 1960s. Our car with the L68 V8 is sitting at $87,427. Get it? 427. Mm-hmm. With 6 days to go. This car doesn't close for essentially another week. But John, I think this car is going to do well. I think it's got a little room to go. I'm going to go $125,000. And if this car brought 135 or 40, I wouldn't be surprised about that number. As you went through the photos and I'm sort of watching it on my screen, the front hood, the front leading edge of the hood does not line up well. And that bothers me. If you're going to studio shot this car, you better make sure your panel gaps are perfect. And it's
don't think that's a thing on this era of car.
Oh, man. I know they're fiberglass and they're probably impossible to do. But if you're going to restore it and spend big money and try to get six figures for it, boy, you better make sure it's going to show well under the lights. But that's the only thing that sort of rubbed me the wrong way about this car. Otherwise, I love everything about it. And I wouldn't be surprised if it does better than my number. But I'll give it to you, JP, at $125,000. What's your crystal ball tell you this Corvette is worth?
Pure guess. I'm going to say $130,000. I'm just going to go over you a little bit. Just because I think it does have some eyeball, and it is, I mean, it's a manual. I mean, it just looks like it'd be a hell of a lot of fun. I would love to try to drive to go out and drive this thing or something like it. But it's just, I don't know. What do you guys think out there? Do you think this car is going to bring the big money? Do you think a Corvette has that ability? Are these going to just kind of spiral down in value as the boomers die off? Or do you think a dead president or almost dead president is going to drop some dead presidents to add another one in his garage? Now is the time to put your comments below. Put it, lock in your bid. Timestamp that sucker and let's go to the future and see what happens with the auction on this really cool looking Corvette. Can't believe I actually said that out loud. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you've gotta call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. Hey, everybody, welcome to the future. It is time to find out what happened with this Stingray convertible Corvette. Is it a Stingray? I think it's a Stingray, right? That's the era of Stingrays. Oh, can it be called a Stingray if it's a drop top?
Yeah, it is. It says Stingray. Literally, there's a really beautiful script on the side of the car that says Stingray.
We just don't
it,
know so. Ish about Corvettes, do we?
Yeah.
All the people that watch the show, you guys are idiots.
Well,
I mean,
they do that anyway because we are.
Doesn't
take a Corvette to figure out we're idiots, you know?
Yeah, it's so funny. Cars and Cafe was today when we shot this, this morning, and everybody came out, and we had a great day out there. Amazing turnout, despite the rising Vegas temperatures here in late June. But it was just fantastic.
In late June, late July, and late August, does Cars and Cafe in Las Vegas start at 4 a.m? Is that a rumor or is that
it
true?
It really should. You know, the
so
great
guys
thing
like
is,
Solomon can show up without a defibrillator. You know,
shout out to our good friend Mikey P, who works over at Godin Classic. He basically saved Cars Un Cafe at its current location at the Good Wolf because parking enforcement has been dicks, just straight up dicks for the last 3 months. They've been coming out and giving us a hard time. We're just like, it was a big old battle. We thought we were going to have to move it. Mikey persisted and found the right person somehow through the bureaucracy in the city, found someone intelligent, and they agreed to move parking enforcement off to noon instead of the normal 8 o'clock. So saved it. You know, there is sanity in government. I bitch about the government all the time and bureaucracies in the state and everything like that. And someone there was amazing. Apparently they're not all idiots. So that's great. Great news. Thank you, Las Vegas, downtown Las Vegas, for making that accommodation.
Yeah.
Because it really is the whole thing, you know,
it's promoting commerce. It's what you want. You're trying the whole idea of gentrifying that area and bending over backwards to get all these new businesses to invest in a forgotten corridor.
Yeah.
Let's be real of what that was 10 years ago. That was dirt down there. There was nothing down there but filth. And you got all these new businesses.
5 years ago,
there.
It was like that.
Yeah. Now you've got young entrepreneurs coming down and doing things to promote engagement and commerce in the area. That's the whole reason it's there. So thank God Mikey persisted. Thank God he found the right set of ears. And thank you, Las Vegas, for accommodating. It's a feel-good story because it's the way it's supposed to happen.
Right. Yeah, and just one more thing to say, too, is that the businesses down there, we're not talking about a bunch of Starbucks and you know, Bed Bath & Beyond. It's not like that. It's not like that kind of generation where all the big corporations come in, right? These are all small businesses, mom and pops, you know, real people.
Creating
their families. You know, this is what you want in a community in the Arts District. So great. Thank you so much, Las Vegas, for supporting the show. All right, that's why we love Las Vegas. Okay, so what happened with this vet, man? Boba Fett's vet.
Yeah, I think Biden bought it, right? Didn't he buy it? JP, we
don't
cover
with a bunch of documents in the trunk. I think?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, yeah. There, in the trunk is a bunch of hush money. Mm. So we don't cover Corvettes very often because between the two of us, we know nothing about them. But I believe 69 is the first year of the C3. This car looks stunning in the factory Monza red paint. I love the round taillights, all the details. Again, it's got a sensuality like a Ferrari does from the same era. In fact, the Ferraris of this era, 1969, 1970, the Ferraris, like the Dinos were very voluptuous. And I think there's a lot of Dino infusion in this design. So worth checking out with a 427, the L68 V8 with 3 2-barrel carburetors, makes 400 horsepower. I went big on the car. I said $125,000. JP, you took the over at $130,000. And ironically, we outkicked our coverage. The car sold, but for just $105,000. John, the way this car is restored and the way it was photographed in the studio by the seller, it looks like a $150,000 car sitting there. It looks beautiful. It sits right. And these early C3 Corvettes are not straddled with low compression engines and governed and catalytic converters and all the things that really neutered these cars from a performance standpoint. These late 60s, very early 70s C3s, I think, are the ones to get. and I'm not surprised by that number. If I'm surprised at anything, that it didn't go for more. I know they made a ton of these Corvettes, but if the production numbers on this version of the car are as low as I think, this guy could wind up being really happy about that number that he paid just 3, 4, 5 years from now. He could have a 50% increase in value. That wouldn't surprise me. Somebody who knows Corvettes really well might say at their phone or computer right now, Deeb, you don't know what you're talking about. L68s are never going anywhere. But man, it seems like a lot of performance for the money. A 400 horsepower Corvette from the 1960s for $100,000, and it's totally restored. That car has won a litany of awards already. I think that it still seems like a steal to me, JP, even though I don't know a lot about the Marquis. So I'll send it back to you. What do you think of that result? What do you think? You think the future will be bright for a car like that at $105,000? I do.
Yeah, I think this is one of those cars that, you know, we talk about the fact that a lot of, the, you know, that the boomers are dying, right? And they're leaving their cars to millennials and Z generations that that don't want cars. They don't have any interest in cars. But there are a lot of young people, still car enthusiasts, that love old Porsches and a lot and old Ferraris. And this is one of the few American cars that I think has potential to be something to continue to stay valued, right? Like nobody cares about old Camaros or old run-of-the-mill, you know, Vets or Mustangs and stuff like that. That stuff is just spiraling down in value. But something like this just has that gorgeous classic, you know, look that you don't have to know a dang thing about cars at all to look at this thing and go, wow, that thing looks special. I don't know what it is. I don't know anything about Corvettes or Porsches or Ferraris or whatever, but you see something like this driving down the road, you're like, okay, that's hot. That's a cool thing. If there's anything that's going to keep the youth, you know, young people into being car enthusiasts, it's stuff like this.
The Utes.
Yeah. So Utes. I don't know.
Did you say Utes? What's a Ute?
I do love this car and I'm a little jealous. I gotta admit it's something that I'd like to experience and maybe drive at some point.
Yeah. That's a hot car. Congratulations to everybody involved. JP, we split the week, man. Although you really won it because you got a Yahtzee on that 944 from P Car Market when you nailed it at 18,000 ducks. But that was fun, man.
Yeah, the Corvette, I mean, just one more thing on the Corvette, though. You know, it's like $100,000. Will the value go up or down? Will this stay?
JP, first of all, I don't think anybody would restore to this level a 350. Mm-hmm. And it made so many 350s, I don't think the needle's going to move on those really at all. They're just out there, and they're all pretty terrible because they've just been driven and parked on the street. But I think a restored L68 with 400 horsepower and the special carburetor setup, I think $100,000 is going to look like a steal in just a couple of years from now. I think this car is really well bought, in my opinion.
I think the problem is that those other ones that look just like this are going to drag this one down as opposed.
I think they've held them from firing through the roof. You know, like, you know that I agree that sentiment. You're absolutely right. But I think that's what's prevented this car from already becoming a $200,000 car, you know, and that sort of thing. It's the L88s, the aluminum block ones that everybody wants, and they go for $500,000 or more. And the trouble with those, the reason why they're not worth more money is because an L88 that's a $600,000 Corvette looks exactly like a 350. You just, that most people, 99% of them can't tell the difference. It takes a true Corvette head to maybe see an exterior styling cue to give way to what's under the hood. But that the Corvette didn't do themselves by any favor by making them all look the same.
Yeah. All right, guys, what do you think of the results? Corvette people out there, school us, let us know what we don't know about these fiberglass cars. And we'll see you tomorrow with something more interesting. Nerd! Get the nerd!